Open your Bibles this morning. I want to say a special hello to Frank and Janet. Frank was at my house the other day, and we had a nice time of prayer and fellowship, and he anticipates them getting back. He told me what happened and how he broke ribs, cracked ribs. He fell on a small little stem, like brick or concrete wall, onto his ribs, slipped. And I mean, that hurt even if you knew it was coming. You know what I'm saying? So, guys, we're in agreement for your complete recovery, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Praise God. Matthew chapter 8, let's go there. And the title of the message today is Giving and Taking Orders. So a lot of us want to give orders, don't we? Come on, be honest. You like to give orders. Orders are easy to give. They're not always easy to receive. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Does anybody in here desire to have more faith? You should. You absolutely should, because if you have more faith, that means that you're winning more when the challenges of the devil show up, when he challenges you. It means if you have more faith, you'll be passing tests as they are presented in your life. Now, God's not the one doing the testing. Somebody will always come along and say, well, the Lord is testing me. The Lord knows who you are. He knows what you're made out of. He doesn't have to test you. Well, now, wait a minute, Pastor Dan. I thought the Lord put us through tests and trials. The trying of your faith works patience. What that means is the trying or the testing of your faith puts patience. Patience kicks in. Patience is not putting up with something. Patience is a Greek word that means constancy, or being consistently the same way over and over. Let no man say when he is tempted, tested, or tried, it's James chapter 1, that I am tested, tempted, or tried of the Lord. God does not tempt, test, nor try. You need to understand that. There have been misinterpretations, misunderstandings regarding the temptations and the tests and the trials. God's doing this to me to teach me something. God is tempting me. God is not tempting you. In Genesis 22, verse 1, the Bible says, and God did tempt Abram. You remember that? That word tempt is the King James translation. And that's not what the original language says. God did prove Abram is what it means. God is not going to tempt you with something evil to see if you're going to go for it or not. God is not going to lay something before you to test you to see how you're going to do. I've got news for you. The tests that come in life are to knock you off of your faith, not give you more faith. If testings and trials and temptations were builders of faith, every one of us would be giants in faith. Right? Who's been tempted, tested, or tried in here? If you're not raising your hand, you is lying. So, the fact is, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you should have life and would have life and have it more abundantly. Yes. So, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please him, the Bible says. Hebrews 11, verse 6. So if you have more faith, you're going to be even more pleasing to him. So your quest in life should be to have your faith increase. And don't think for a moment that your faith is just going to stay where it's at all the time. Well, Pastor Dan, I reached this level, and now I can quit. Guess what? Christians leak. They do. You know. Every time I say that, I think back to an old Three Stooges episode where, was it Shemp? Something happened, and he sprung a leak when he took a drink, or someone shot him or something with a shotgun or something. And it sprung a leak, and he's got, you can see the holes, and you can see the little hoses of where they're running the water, and it's shooting out all over the place. Christians leak. Your faith will not stay exactly at the same level that you're at today. If you don't feed it, you're going to decrease. It's called backsliding. Well, I reached a level in the Lord, and now I'm going to just coast, and you'll coast right backwards. So you can't do that. It's a walk. Don't turn this into a sprint. Don't turn your life into I'm going to give it a 90-to-nothing attitude, and I'm going to go at it hard and heavy, and then I'm going to coast. No. You need to understand we're in a marathon. And marathon runners don't start off running full blast, do they? The best marathon runners, as the race is coming to a close, have a final kick. And I've seen guys that were way back in marathons, you know, 1,000 yards back, come back and end up winning the race because that guy or gal had a kick at the end. They could pick it up. They saved and conserved some energy and ended up winning the race when the person out front was burned out. They were just barely dragging over the line, ended up fourth or fifth, you know. It's a marathon. Well, you say, do I pace myself, you know, by not being too serious? No. You need to be very as serious about the things of God and as committed in the things of God as possible. Every day, committing. But having more faith is just a byproduct of when you're getting into the Word. Your faith should be increasing, is what I'm telling you. So when we read about this man in Matthew chapter 8, this is that series on having great faith, and this is number 5 in the series. This centurion is the one that we have been looking at. In Matthew chapter 8, look at verse 5. We'll read this. This is our foundation. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. One version says he was paralyzed, couldn't move. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. You know, you could stop right there and just park. I will come and heal him. It is God's will to heal. Jesus is not only able, he is willing. We brought it out in the account where, the centurion, in one version, it makes it appear that the centurion is right there talking to Jesus. We read another version, I believe it was Luke's version, that said that the centurion sent some people to talk to Jesus, and he stayed back at the house. Well, it's really not a contradiction because when a person sent somebody in their name, it was as if that person was there. These that went and met with Jesus and told him about the centurion, they were the ones that were given the power of attorney to speak in the name of the centurion. And so it's very important that you understand that because that part of the story has kind of been overlooked. People have said, well, one version says Jesus, that the centurion went up to Jesus, and another version says that the centurion was home and sent people to talk to Jesus. I found a contradiction. No, you didn't. Where he sent representatives, that is what the Lord actually has done with us in this earth today. And it speaks to that. It was as if the centurion was talking to Jesus, and that's the way it's brought out here is in Matthew, that the centurion was saying it. No, the representatives really were, but when you and I speak in the name of Jesus, guess what? In this earth, we are ambassadors. We are those that are sent from on high. We have authority in heaven in the name of Jesus, and we are here in this earth with authority from another land as ambassadors. And when we speak the word, when you and I share the word, it's as if Jesus is doing it here. We are his mouthpieces here in the earth. That is a truth you need to hang on to and not let go of. You are a visual representation as the church in the earth today. Growing up as a Catholic, I was taught that the Pope was the only visual representation of Jesus Christ in the earth. That was the biggest lie. They believed it, but it wasn't true. You know? Any saved, born-again believer is a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And you and I have a responsibility. Don't give me that. I'm not called to pray for people, and I don't feel called to witness to people. Because every one of us as believers are ambassadors, and every one of us are called to witness. Every one of us are called to pray. I'm not called to intercede. Yes, you are. Everybody is. Some do it. Some don't. Everybody's called to witness and share Christ. Some do it, some don't. How committed are you? You know, I mean, it really boils down to that. How are you living your life before people? Let them see Jesus in you. Amen. But what detail are we given in this particular story about this centurion that points to him having the greatest faith. After all, he's not a theologian. He's not one who studied the word. He's a man of war. The guy killed people, you know? He's a soldier, a professional, a really good soldier at that. So what is it? Let's go on in verse number 8. The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." Now he starts talking about his military background. "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily or truly I say to you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Now, he starts talking about his military background here. And he talks about how, he says to one man, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes. He said, "I'm a man under authority." I'm going to read this to you out of another version of the God's Word translation. And let me just pull that up right quick. What I did was, which I think is pretty smart, I took a photo of it and then put it in my picture so I can just go through it that way, which is easier than trying to find it because I had used other portions of Scripture. In Matthew 8, God's Word translation reads this way, beginning there in verse 5. And I just want to bring this out to you, and then we're going to move along in this. But here's the way it reads in God's Word translation. When Jesus went to Capernaum, a Roman army officer came to beg him for help. The officer said, "Sir, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed and in terrible pain." Jesus said to him, "I'll come to heal him." The officer responded, "Sir, I don't deserve to have you come into my house, but just give a command and my servant will be healed. As you know, I'm in a chain of command and have soldiers at my command. I tell one of them, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes, and tell my servant, do this, and he does it." Jesus was amazed when he heard this. He said to those who were following him, "I can guarantee this truth. I haven't found faith as great as this in anyone in Israel." So this man, a soldier, has greater faith than Peter, who stands, you know, he's right there with him. Andrew, James, John, Matthew, the list goes on. And he's saying, this soldier has greater faith than any of these. And I'll guarantee you, there were some Sadducees and some Pharisees, you know, like the paparazzi, hanging around just waiting to see what they could catch Jesus in. I'll guarantee they heard it. And that offended. Let me say this. This word is, and it cropped up earlier, and I need to share it because I believe the Holy Spirit has it for somebody. Offense. When we allow ourselves to get offended, which I'll guarantee you the opportunity came to the disciples right there to get offended at Jesus. You know the Pharisees got offended. You know the Sadducees would have gotten offended. Those people hated Jesus. You know it would have offended them. Who is he saying? This guy has greater faith. Who's he to be the judge? They didn't realize who they were addressing. But if you and I allow offense to get in our lives, offense is that Greek word scandalon. You all remember this. We get the word scandal from it. But offense means the trigger on a trap or a bent sapling. And once that trigger is touched, it releases and the trap is set. We could liken it to that little thing on a mouse trap where you pull the mouse trap spring-loaded guillotine, literally, over and put the bar on it, put the little bit of peanut butter, cheese, right? Okay, y'all with me? Okay, I know it's warm in here, but some of you are going, it's really nice. Yeah, whatever. That little trigger on the trap, when it's touched, you take a pencil, bam, right? Y'all ever done it? You ever do it on your own finger? I have, it hurts. Remember the guy that they showed it on some TV show, he did it on his tongue. Yeah, that was it. I was like, yeah, you bozo. I mean, good night. Talk about hurt. I mean, it'd take a year for that thing to if you still had a tongue. Anyway, that little trigger is what scandalon points to. The trigger on a trap. And when that is, it's very sensitive. Told you it was sensitive. I did nothing. I have a new, it was an illustration. Thank you. That little trick. Take the coat off. I'll do like Marty. Here you go. Clancy, if you're watching, there you go. That little trigger on the trap, it's very sensitive. You touch it, it'll go off. The trigger is the offense. You cannot afford to walk around with your trigger hanging out there. You know what I mean? It's too easy to get offended. You can get offended about a lot of things. It's always funny when it's somebody else, you know, until it's you. And now you're offended and you're hacked off about something. And it's serious with you. But to the other person, you say, get over it. You know, you ought to get over that. Come on, you're acting pretty immature. But when it's you, it's like, you don't know what they did. You don't know what they said. Well, you all can identify. I know you can. I'm just looking around. Everybody in here can identify with that because you've been right there before. It's always easier when it's somebody else, but when it's you, it's different this time. I know all that, but you don't know what. How many times have I said to people, I don't care what they said. You don't have a right to get offended. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Now we go on. I just, that been in my spirit this morning to share that. This, where he says, I tell one, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes. He said, you know, that's not a suggestion. It's an order. This man understood how authority worked. He was a man under authority. He was a man who had people under him. He listened to his superiors, and in listening to his superiors, he would then translate that and tell those that were subordinate to him. It's the way it works, isn't it? Who's been in the military in here? Raise your hand high. Come on, raise them up high. Thank you for your service. Give them a hand clap. Thank you. Thank you. We do appreciate you. Thank you very much. But you understand how authority works in the military. We've had this discussion before, David. You didn't say to, you know, somebody who is an officer is telling you to do something. You go, well, listen, buddy, I'll deal with it later when I get a chance. You know, I mean, you'll probably be on your face in a moment and or in the brig or whatever. But you don't. That's not the way the Army works. That's not the way any of the military works. Let me ask you this. How many of you would promote somebody if you owned a business? How many of you would promote somebody in your business that never does something that you tell them to do? I told him to do this. He or she didn't do it. I've given them chance after chance. Well, hey, come on in my office. They come in the office. I'm going to give you a big fat promotion, and I'm going to put you over all these people. You don't do that. They don't listen to you. They don't do what you're asking them to do. You are going to kill your business if you put that person in there. Because he'll just transfer all that lazy insubordination into the rest of the business. Now from a position of authority where they have even greater influence. I've got news for you. God doesn't promote people that don't take orders. God does not promote a person in the things of the Spirit who is unwilling to submit. Well, first off, to him. But in that submission, this man understood he had to submit to some people too. Now, this is always where it gets a little bit hairy. Because orders and commands can come through people in the body of Christ. If you're not willing to be submitted to somebody in the earth, you're not really submitted to God, because God set it up that way, that we would submit to one another. The scripture points out to obey those that have the rule over you in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, and then it's in verse number 7 of Hebrews 13. We'll touch on that for just a moment. But everybody gets, your flesh fights that word obey or submit. Who loves that word, submit? Who loves the word obey? What'd you just say to me? Obey? You're going to command me? You know, Paul said this. Paul commanded the church on numerous occasions. One time he said, I command that those that do not work should not eat. That was a command. That was not a suggestion. It was a command. And so in this story, we see a man who understands commands. We understand a man who understands commands that are given to him and how he is to obey them. And then he also understands how when he gives a command, that person that he gives the command to is supposed to obey instantly. In the military, again, guys, were you taught to obey a command instantly or give it 15 to 20 minutes? Somebody say it, instantly, right? It could be the difference between winning a battle, especially in combat, an order's given, you do it. It could be the difference between winning and losing. One of the simplest things that we have to understand and pull from this story is the fact that this man, this centurion, which, by the way, we wouldn't even be talking about if he didn't obey commands readily and just quickly, right? If he was a guy who never obeyed any commands, I've got news for you. He never would have become a centurion. The only way you become a centurion who was over at least 100 men, the only way that ever happened was if you took orders well and you did what you're supposed to do in order to work up the ranks. A buck private, I don't know how the rank goes now. You guys could instruct me on this. But, you know, years ago, I know it was you started as a private, and then you'd work up to what, a private first class, right? And then what, a corporal after that, okay? And some degree of, I know there's different degrees of things now, and then what, a sergeant, however it went, okay. You'd never leave being a private if you didn't take orders well and obey them. Part of the whole process of being promoted was being able to receive orders given to you and not arguing about it. When the Lord tells you to do something, do you do it right away? Or 6 weeks after you know the Lord told you to do something, you still haven't done it? This man, we're talking about him today because he understood how the whole process worked and he acted on it. And that it's brought out in God's word translation, just give a command. Just give a command and my servant will be healed. Just give the command. Just give the command. I mean, I see that and I think, wow, this is wonderful. This guy understood what authority was about and how it worked. Now, to, you know, let you know, whenever Christian interactions taking place and somebody is submitted to somebody who has a rule over them, let's just use the church as a for instance, because it's this way in every church. Those that have the rule over you doesn't mean those that think they're better than you, think they're more spiritual than you, think they're smarter than you, think they're at a higher level in the Lord over you. That is not what that means. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey those that have the rule over you are your guides. They watch for your soul. You have no idea how much time I spend going before the Lord regarding your lives and your family's lives. I'm not going to toot my own horn on that, and the Lord knows. But that's part of the call for those that have been called as spiritual leaders and in the setting of the church. That's part of what I do. Pastor John does it. Now, jump over to Hebrews 13. Hold your place here. I've got to show you something because you need to see this. This is very, very important. Hebrews 13. It's right before James. You know that. In our house, it's not Hebrews, it's Shebrews. Guess who makes the coffee? Yeah. Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse number 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or their lifestyle. Remember them. You know, this is talking about spiritual leaders here. And so you're supposed to remember them in the respect of, you know, you need to pray for those that are in spiritual leadership. Of course you do. But one of the things about those of us that walk in a position of spiritual leadership, you don't demand submission. I can't demand that of you. I'm not going to demand that you submit to me. I'm not going to force you to submit to me. Are you kidding me? It has to be your own free will that you do that, knowing that you're obeying a scripture. And if you don't, I'm not going to come to you and say, hey, you know, I've noticed you're not too submitted. That's between you and God. I'm going to love you anyway. I'm going to treat you kindly anyway. But the fact is, when it's done scripturally, it's not a forced thing. It's your heart, and God's always looking at your heart. Now, you can rebel on that. You can say, I don't submit to anybody. I submit to God and God only, and nobody's going to tell me what to do. Isn't that amazing? You submit to God, and you hear from God, and you're the only one who can determine what the Lord meant by what he said to you. Think about that for a minute. Because sometimes these commands, these orders, if you will, come through a person. And you have a choice whether to obey or not obey. You know, when the Lord says, you need to share this with so-and-so, like this morning, okay? Let's just use this morning. That word that came forth about it being a day, today, to get things squared away and get real, that was from God. That was something the Lord gave to me for this congregation, for all of you out there as well, and those that are not here today. That was something the Lord gave, and you can go, yeah, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm all right. Okay, there you go. Or you can say, you know what? That bears witness in my spirit. It is time to get real. It is time to get real. Sure it is. So, and if you look at it that way, it was a command or an order to address it. What are you going to do with it? If you can't take an order like that and instantly turn it into, I'm more spiritual than he is, or I'm more spiritual than she is, how dare they try to tell me to do something? I can hear from God for myself. You're not submitted to God in the first place. Because if you're submitted to God, you know that you need to obey or have that reverence toward those that are in spiritual leadership over you. It's not like, I think I'm better than Kenneth because I'm the pastor and he's part of the church. It's not like I think, well, I'm better than Susie or Pastor John for that matter, or any of you in here. That would be so contrary to the character of Christ. Anybody that walks around like that doesn't deserve to be in a pulpit, okay? Anybody that pulls that kind of garbage should be tossed, and they need to sit and listen and grow up. Amen. But look here. The next verse, verse number 8, I need to grab some water. I've been dry since I stood up here. Look at verse 8. Jesus Christ the same. You see that? Yesterday, today, and forever. Look at the verse right before it. It in the halfway through the verse, we'll start the verse again, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering or evaluating the end of their lifestyle. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What is he saying? Leaders' spiritual lives should be the kind of life that you can follow, that they're consistent. They're not up one day, down the next. They're not in and out of the things of God. They don't quit at the drop of a hat. They plow through the tough times, like my sister was saying just a little bit ago. You need to see that verse in context. I love that verse. Probably my favorite verse in the Bible. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But it is actually, of course he is the same. But leaders are supposed to emulate that so that people have something to follow here in this earth. That's the responsibility. So instead of sitting and pointing and picking at the leadership, you need to be praying for the leadership and check your own life to see if you're willing to obey these things that are being brought forth from the heart of God as the pastor, man or woman, whoever it happens to be, brings it forth. Because if you cannot do that, you're not submitted to this word. Ultimately, you're not submitted to God if you're not willing to work within the parameters and the framework that he has set up. Well, Pastor Dan, I think, hey, you know what? What does the word say? It doesn't really matter what we think. Just so you understand and don't misunderstand what I'm talking about, I'm not saying you come up here and kiss my feet. I'm not saying you bow down to me. You have reverence and you treat me, you put me on a pedestal. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying as I hear from God, you need to listen and you need to weigh it out and see if it lines up with the scriptures. And if it's something the Lord has said, like this morning, that you need to address in your life, you address it and you grab a hold of it. You don't play this game and go, I don't have to listen to him. I hear from God as good as he does. No, you don't. Not when you're acting like that, you don't. Amen? So I'm not saying that there's not a one of you in here that can't hear from God, because every one of you can and should be hearing from God. But in the army of the Lord, we're supposed to be good soldiers. And good soldiers don't argue about stuff. Amen. Look at verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. If we have to do it with grief, it's unprofitable for you. You know, if the man or woman who's in the position of spiritual leadership is walking in love, and you know what? I mean, personalities come into play, but the fact of the matter is we need to understand that there is an order to things, and God honors his word when we obey it in our lives. Now, jump back to Matthew 8 quickly, and we'll close. This whole thing of, you know, getting uppity when somebody, uppity? You know that word. I don't think I have to obey that. You know what? Everybody has a choice. Every one of us have choices. But when it's done in love and it's done with the backing of the Holy Spirit, then, you know, you need to do what the Lord tells you. You guys, we're in a war every day. You're in a war, whether you like it or not, whether you want to be or not. Ephesians 6 speaks of our spiritual armor. I mentioned a little bit of it before. But the fact is, we need to be hearing commands from the Lord. Amen? And again, sometimes he uses people. Did that bear witness to anybody this morning that this is a day, today, a get real moment? Did it bear witness with you? Yes. If it didn't, why didn't it?
Because I am real.
Oh. Okay. So what I'm saying is, when something comes forth, if it's received in the love of Jesus, it's received as a word from God through the man or the woman of God, that leads you in that pathway of having great faith. And I'll tell you this, you cannot give orders, give commands, stand up in a position and say something that you heard from heaven if you're not submitted to the Lord first in your own life and ultimately willing to submit to people as you go. There are people I call on the phone, men and women I call on the phone and we'll talk to, that are spiritual parents to me. And if they say, Dan, you missed it. That was wrong. You should, you know, you need to say this and that. That isn't right. No, okay, well, show me the scripture on it. Yeah, okay, you're right. I was wrong. You have to be submitted in some way. I have at times, as a man of God, yielded to some of you, where the Lord has shown you something, and I said, you know what? That's good. Just right now, you stood up and had a word. Jerry had a word. Glenn had a word. I could have said, nobody takes the mic but me. Now, how would that be? That would be somebody you don't want to follow, right? Okay. So that's the point. Let the Holy Spirit have his way and flow. What did Jesus' mom say in John chapter 2, verse 5? I know you maybe don't know the verse offhand, but that's the wedding feast at Cana Galilee. Whatever he says to do, do it. Whatever he tells you to do. I'm telling you what, there are a lot of Christians that haphazardly want to just kind of do this thing of submitting one-sided. I submit to God, you know, I'm not going to listen to anybody, no one's going to tell me anything. I submit to God, and they want to give orders. It doesn't work like that. You have to be able to receive orders in order to give orders. The natural analogy is if a person's going to be promoted from a lower rank to a higher rank, they must be people of integrity, people that obey orders, do it right away, then they're promoted. When the Lord tells you to do something, do you do it? Now just, it's between you and God, be honest about it. The Lord told me to do this. I've had people tell me, the Lord told me to come to Solid Rock Church. And then something happens and they get their nose. And now suddenly God told them no. I've had people say, God told me to do this. God told me to do that. God told me. Wait a minute. If he told you, why aren't you doing it? You've stepped over into disobedience, brother, sister, whoever it is. You stepped away from what you in front of others said God told you. Well, I may have missed it. You think? Maybe you did. Maybe you didn't. Whatever he tells you to do, you need to do it. Now, I want to close with this. Go to James 4. You know the end of the story with, you know, the servant was healed and whole. But let's end up with James 4, and we'll stop there today. James 4. Who just loves to have orders given to them? Well, you know what? You need to get over that. If they're given in the Spirit of Christ, if they're given in the right way, there shouldn't be any issues there. I've had the Lord talk to me very sternly regarding things that I told you. Father, forgive me. Forgive me, sir. And get out to do what you're supposed to do. James chapter 4, look at verse 6. But he gives more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. You see that? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The devil will only flee when you're submitted to God. If you're not submitted to God, in other words, listening to him, obeying his commands. When he tells you to do something, whether it's from on high and he speaks it to you in an audible voice, or if it rises up in your spirit, man, and you know I'm supposed to do this, or somebody else says, I don't know why, but the Lord told me to tell you this. You weigh it out. Are you going to obey it? Okay. So you submit yourself to God, to his word, therefore, and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. I've said this before, and I'll just say it again. If I'm listening to the devil, I'm not submitted to God. Right. Who's ever listened to the devil in here? Every one of you have, including me. Yeah. You listen to the enemy. You let the enemy fool you. You let the lust of the flesh get involved in something. You let the pride of life get involved. You let this happen. You let that happen. You ended up listening to the devil. Now, we don't like to think of it that way, but that's exactly what it is. And when you listen to the devil, then you turn around and you're going to, in the name of Jesus, I command that sickness to go. It ain't going. It ain't. A-I-N-T, ain't. It's not going anywhere. Why? You're listening to the devil. You're not submitted to God. When you're submitted to God and listening to God, the devil has to listen to you. If you're listening to the devil, guess what? The devil does not have to listen to you. In fact, he won't. A lot of people try to use faith principles. Go ahead, stand to your feet. A lot of people try to use faith principles and these things that we're talking about in a random fashion. They get a hold of a little bit of the word, and they find out they have authority in the name of Jesus, and I can speak to this mountain, and it'll have to be moved. I can speak to that sickness. I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Yes, you are. But one of the prerequisites for the enemy to flee is you being submitted to God, and that includes, from time to time, hearing something from somebody and doing something that maybe your flesh is going to fight you about. Can I hear an amen? This is growing up Christianity right here. Because your flesh fights this stuff. I know it. My flesh fights it. Why should I call so-and-so? I think I have an understanding of the word. Why should I call so-and-so and ask him or, you know, what I need to do in this situation? Why should I consult with anybody? Because the word says there's wisdom in a multitude of counsel. That's why. And the scripture is very plain about that. So we need to consistently humble ourselves. God resists the proud. You just saw it in verse 6 of James 4. Pride's a sin. Why would you want to name a month Pride Month? Pride is a sin. Well, there's a lot more to that sin, but amen? Bow your head with me. Let's pray. Father, we want to be in that position of authority and walking in that position where we are giving commands, giving orders, telling the devil where he can get off and get out of our situation. As we lay hands on people, as we speak the word, we want to say what you say. And we only want to do what you command us and tell us to do, sir, whether it be from us hearing it in our spirit, man, or somebody else in the body of Christ saying something to us, we're going to be open to that. As we submit to you, we understand you use people in different ways and different fashions. And it doesn't mean they're better than any of us. We're all on the same level in Jesus Christ, but our jobs are different. Our roles are different. And so, Father, we just bless you this day and thank you this day for us and sir, as we submit to you and listen to you, we know the devil has to listen to us. As we're committed and submitted to you, we will be very selective on what we say, waiting to know that you're the one who has initiated us saying that or doing that. As we're selective, we know that the effect that we have will be much greater when we pray. So we bless you and give you glory. Thank you, sir. We're not going to buck against others saying things to us that we may need to weigh out before you. And if you use a person to tell us to do something, we're going to do it. We're not going to fight about it, argue, contest it. We'll check it out if it lines up with the word and bears witness in our heart, but we will obey. Thereby enabling us to give command to the enemy as we stay submitted to you, sir. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Come on, if you all agree, say amen.